Let's go back to Daniel 9. Verse 24.
That smell we this morning.
Oh. Yeah. All right. I didn't even think about that.
I just stumbled on it.
All right. 70 weeks.
Barely on.
Everybody at Daniel 9? Mm-hmm. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. And we could go on about this chart here, but I want to look at those.
I have one question about the chart. I don't see a starting date. Where does it start?
Oh, it starts at 457 BC. That's when the from the in verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, that happened. That was the commandment. That was in. I don't have it right here, but it's in a couple places in Ezra and Nehemiah, and I think there's a reference to it in Jeremiah also, where God said that there would be those 400 years or whatever it was. Whoops, I almost had a real big accident. Anyhow, so I'm sure it was 457 BC. But you figure if you take that as a 70, 490 years, then you come up this chart. Okay? That's the beginning. Now, there's a couple things I want to look at. One of the things in verse 24 is that to bring in everlasting righteousness and to anoint the most holy. Now, let's go to Revelation 21 or 20, maybe one of those. I just thought of this, so this is a new deal. Yeah, verse 20.
Revelation
20, I'm sorry. Maybe it's not Revelation 20. Where do the people that are the days of Messiah are 1,000 years? It's where it's where those that believe in the raptures say that, you know, we're going to be raptured now pretty soon, and then we're going to go up to heaven for a while, and Jesus will meet us in the air, and then all of the tribulation is going to come. And then after the tribulation, we come back down and reign with him for 1,000 years on earth. I don't know where that is, but it's somewhere. But the point of it is, these references to 1,000 years or whatsoever, imagine that the wealth of Abraham was said to be the cattle on 1,000 hills or something like that. Here it says the 1,000-year reign. In ancient times, the 1,000 was like a whole bunch, but it didn't mean 1,000 per se. I mean, yeah. Like, I've got a cattle on 1,000 hills, therefore I have to go count the hills.
I've told you a million times.
Yeah. So it's not that. That's just exaggeration.
Yeah.
This is a situation in which a number is just a long time, like, or a whole bunch. But
yeah. 1,000 years is as a day to the Lord.
Right. So it's not that you can't calculate based on those things, because, you know, you can't say, well, it's going to rain 1,000 years and then we'll blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I should have looked that up, so I didn't look it up. So we'll study that later. But back to Daniel. Well, the three things that he's going to do in verse 24. The first one is to finish the transgression, and then to make an end of sin, and then to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now, the first one, transgression, he shall finish the transgression. It means, the word is pasha, P-A-S-H-A. Very close to Pesha, which is Passover. But this transgression is fundamentally rebellion or revolt. It's what we do when we have no faith. We rebel. The transgression. And so it's based on the same kind of idea as a trespass. And the trespass and transgression are essentially the same. Okay? The next one is to make an end of sin or sins. Sin there is that we remember when we went through the 3-year cycle, it's that word kata'ath. And it means both sin and the sin offering. It's C-H-A-T-T-A-A-T-H, kata'ath. It's both the sin and the sin offering.
Which one is kata'ath?
Sin.
Make an end of sins?
Oh, sins is
kata'ath. It's the one where hamachia in Greek.
That's the mark.
Right. No, not because they're two different. The concept is a little different. Remember, we have the trespass offering and the sin offering. So, as Paul said in Romans 7, it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And so, sin is you. Sin is, and then trespass or kata'ath is what our. Pasha is what you do. Sin is who you are. Transgression or trespass is what you do. Now iniquity, and it says to bring in everlasting righteousness, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now iniquity is the word Avon or Aben. That's Avon calling, you know, that whole deal that when Avon literally tried to set up their system in Israel, and it was Avon calling, so they didn't do too well. And that's just another word for self-seeking, but it's primarily meaning self-seeking still of believers. So there's a sin, which is who you are, and then there are believers that continue in self-seeking is an iniquity. You understand? So those three things, transgression or trespass, sin, and iniquity. So he made an end of sin in the 70th week. That's the whole mystery, right? He made an end of sin. And he finished the transgression. And he made reconciliation for iniquity. And those three things were done at the 70th week of Daniel, which is AD 33. That's what happened at the cross.
And now, these others too that are pretty, yeah.
Do what?
And more. Bring in everlasting righteousness.
Right, right, right. Yeah. So now, therefore, the idea, this is why you can't, as long as you're thinking in time, you can never understand what that scripture means. Now, I don't know where to begin there. Let's go back to Genesis. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4. This is a biggie. We spent a lot of time in this when we went through the 3-year cycle. Let's the 6 verses, the first 6 verses of Genesis. Pete's Bible is missing Genesis 4.
Yeah, I'm missing first 4 or 5 chapters of Genesis.
I think you need it. You're telling me I need a new Bible.
It was falling apart at the beginning.
All right. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. And she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man-child from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, there's a lot of scholars that, because of the way that is written, think that they were twins. Abel, you remember other twins in the Bible? Jacob and Esau? And in all cases that I'm aware of in the Bible with the twins, one was that it was the revelation of the scapegoat and the revelation of having two. There's two. There's you as the instead of Christ, and you as a vessel for him, for Christ. So that's the idea of this, the meaning of the twins. But watch. Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So he's always messing around in the dirt in himself, trying to get things right and get it fixed. That's really spiritually what it means in the metaphor. Do you understand?
Yeah.
You're always trying to fix yourself. You're always trying to, like it says in Jeremiah, why do you gad about to change yourself? And in verse 3, in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. He was a believer. He and Cain and Abel were the first Christians. They brought an offering to the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain, to his offering, he had no respect, or not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, the sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, remember, this is the word kataoth. It's both the word for sin, and it's the word for the sin offering. And it has to be seen in context. So here, why is your countenance fallen? Know you not that the sin offering lieth at the door? But the sin offering, by definition, is his death. That's why Abel saw, he offered a sheep, a lamb, and in killing that lamb, he saw his own death. So Cain and Abel were the first Christians. Cain was one who kept himself alive, trying to be acceptable unto God by digging in the soil in his own being. Abel saw the mystery and saw his death. Amen? Now, let's go to 1 John chapter 3. Is it making?
I don't know if I should turn it off while it's making.
Go ahead and turn it off.
Turn it off.
1 John chapter 3. I think. I should study more. Well, I study, but I never end up talking about what I study.
I just saw something interesting I never looked at, but in 8 before we just left, chapter 4, Genesis, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. They talked. What did they talk about? They must have had a rousing conversation enough to where Cain
slew him.
Took him down.
All right. This is what we're going
to,
let's start in verse 4.
Where'd we go?
1 John chapter 3. Remember, it says the first part of chapter 3 is, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Blah, blah, blah. Now, let's end verse 3. "Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Now, this is the every man purifieth himself. He takes the action. And the action is repentance. Let's read that whole thing in context. We didn't start until 10 minutes late, so I'm going to go until 10 after 7. Okay?
I'm not concerned about how long you're going to go. But I just want to, would you repeat what verse you were reading again, or where we start?
We started 1 John chapter, well, we started.
Chapter 3.
Chapter 3, and we were, I just sort of said verse 1.
Oh, okay.
And 2, 3. And so we have now that every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. You see what that means? You can't purify yourself except by repentance. And you can't repent until you see the emptiness and stupidity of what you're doing. As long as you see and think that what you're doing is okay, then you're still Cain, digging around in the muck. But if you're at the end of yourself, then every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself even as he is pure. Now, whosoever, and then it explains this, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So here we have it. Now we're back to the same idea that we had at Cain and Abel, and that's what's used. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one or evil one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now, so Cain and Abel became the model for this mystery of him purifying himself even as he is pure. But, and it was all and all and all and all and all and all about repentance. Everybody understand this? But the minute you take self-action for any reason, then you're still toiling. Still, your eye is still evil. Behold, you know, if your eye is single, go to Matthew 5, I think, or 6. Matthew 6, verse 22. This says the same thing, except in a different way. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body is full of light. But if thine eye be evil... And evil is porneo, means to see toil or see work necessary. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And it says it again in a different way. No man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Same message. Not Cain, but Abel. Not Cain, but Abel. Not Cain, but Abel. But the default position is always Cain. Unless there's repentance. He was of the wicked one. He was of the evil one. He was the type of the instead of Christ. Abel is a type of seeing Christ. So we have sin. We have trespass, sin, and iniquity. Sin, trespass is what we do when we screw up. It's always. Repentance takes you away from that. Sin is who we are. We are Cain. But we contain Abel. The same. It's the same thing of the twins again, Jacob and Esau. Jacob would never use his name because it means the way of the snake. Finally, he finally came to the end and he was wrestling with the angel. For the first time in his life, that's recorded in the scripture, he used his own name. He was always son of before. He said, I am Jacob. I am the instead of Christ. I am the way of the snake. And the angel said, you shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel, she who sees God. Hallelujah. All the same message. This message is repeated over and over and over and over and over again throughout the Bible. And then there's iniquity. Iniquity is the one of the believers who are in rebellion because they're still running around doing seeking, self-seeking. They're trying to do something for self. But he made reconciliation for iniquity. Reconciliation is he exchanged. Exchanged you, him for you. You for him. You die. He lives.
Amen.
What?
I said amen.
Oh.
Can't argue with that.
But again, it's baptism. You see what they did, these modern Christians do? He caused the oblation to cease by his baptism, but they say that's the Antichrist having set himself up in the temple in Jerusalem So they dismiss this, and then they have a floating week somewhere. It's floating around up in the skies. So again, everything is done so that you can justify rebellion because you have time. That's the hallmark of the instead of Christ, the hallmark of a Pharisee, the hallmark of iniquity, is that you need time. And therefore, because you need time, that means you can repent in the future. Well, I'm going to wait and repent when God hits me in the head, or no. When we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. But there has to be repentance for that action to work. Amen.
Yeah, that's another scripture I don't think I had really seen or understood before. Purify itself, that's obviously repentance.
That's the only way you can purify yourself.
That's the only way, yeah. Purify yourself except by repentance.
Hmm?
Nothing.
All right.
I got something here I want to ask. It's in Romans 7:17. This, you brought this up kind of a minute ago. It says, Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. You jump over to Galatians 2:20. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives within me.
Right, you don't live. Christ lives within you.
Well, what about 7:17?
Same thing.
It says that sin dwells in me.
Right, that's why there was repentance. It's no longer him that does it, but sin what was doing it. So he repented. He repented when he saw, not that he saw that what he was doing was keeping himself chained to the dead body.
Well, it goes on to say, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this?
And no one. It says, and then he's chained from the dead body. It doesn't say anybody delivered him. Right, but it doesn't say he delivered him. He repented.
So with the mind I serve the law of God.
Not with the mind of Christ you serve the law of God.
Read what it says.
Huh?
I'm just reading what it says.
Well, I mean, it's obvious.
And I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
Right, the mind of God is empty. You don't use your natural mind anymore. That's the whole message. That's what he's saying there.
So about the only thing the mind does here is agrees with God.
That's the only thing he can do is see that he's tied to a dead body. Right, so you either do one of two things. You either repent, or you say, well, God's got to fix that. And so you continue in iniquity, even though you're a believer.
Yeah, and then you find yourself caught here, which we all do.
Yeah, but you
we find we can't serve God like...
Well, from the beginning, that's what Joshua said. Remember?
You cannot serve.
Choose this day who we'll serve. So that's a good one. Joshua 24. Verse 14. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua.
All right. Not there.
Verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord. Now, Joshua, this is the last message of Joshua before he died. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, the gods that they served, they made physical things of. They made things, the gods that the man serves are in here. And there's no idea that you can have where you have an investment in the outcome that isn't an idol. Doesn't, you've made that an idol, even though you're saying you're doing it for God. Whatsoever you do in thought, in word, or in deed, do heartily as unto the Lord. Everybody says, well, that just means you really do it well and you work hard because you're doing it for God. No, that's not what it means. It means you have no investment in the outcome. Once you have an investment in the outcome of anything you do, then it's become an idol. But here, so, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods of your which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day, choose that whether the gods your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did these great things in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove them out from before us, all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Now, the reason all this exists is so that you have to see your death. So you, it's Christ in you who's living, not you anymore. You're gone. Because otherwise, you might be as sincere as toast. I don't know, I can't think of it as sincere as, but you are still serving self, because that's all this thing can do.
Yeah, in the name of God.
Yeah.
And you cannot serve God in that.
The only way you can serve God is to die.
Yeah, amen.
But he lives. That's the message of Cain and Abel. Again, we can go through all of them that we just went through.
Amen.
One more. Exodus 34. My pages in my Bible make too much noise.
Yeah, I was going to talk to you about that.
Well, this is just one. This says it's a million times. This is a place where God renewed the tables of the Ten Commandments after Moses broke them the first time. And verse 5, huh? And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, the Lord, God merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear up the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation. Now, said, that's not the one I was thinking of. But the one I was thinking of is fulfill up the sin of the Amorites. Then the one in the New Testament that says, fill up the measure of your fathers. And it all means the same. It all means to find out and understand that my God, I am Cain. My God, I am instead of Christ. My God, I am Jacob, the way of the saint. Until you can finally see your complete death, and only he lives. And the complete death sounds like a redundant. But it isn't. Every aspect of you that makes you you dies. That's what happened at the cross. That's why we can see that every knee is bowing and every tongue is confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. We can see that it's finished. We can see wherever we look this mystery of God. Whether it's in the leaves or the birds or the trees or the tomatoes or when we eat or when we breathe or when we drink, everything reveals this singular mystery of God. My death is life. Christ in me, the only hope of glory. Know you not your own selves. Know you not your own selves. Know you not your own selves. How that Jesus Christ is in you. Not the Spirit of Christ, Jesus Christ. Except you be reprobate. You're reprobate, you're incapable of true repentance. You're capable of the repentance of the world, but you can't repent completely because that would, what would you do? You would, if you don't know Christ is in you, you can't repent.
Yeah, where would you go?
All right. That's enough about Cain and Abel. Enough about the. But do you understand why this is important? It's the 70 weeks of Daniel were fulfilled at the cross. All right, take a big dive.